I mean, you can't write that. Dario literally asked for the power that got his own model pulled. And David Sachs, the former AI czar, he came out and said the administration asked Dario to fix the jailbreak or de-deploy the model, and Dario refused both. The administration's framing is, Anthropic spent years telling us Mythos is a cyber weapon. We found the guardrails don't work. Now they're saying it's not serious.
Hello and welcome. I'm Tim Williams, and this is episode 19 of the Rubber Duck Radio. Joining me, as always, is Paul Mason, full-stack developer from Seattle, my co-conspirator in all things AI and software. Paul, we have got quite the week to talk about.
Yeah, I feel like we picked the right week to record. The AI world has been absolutely on fire. And not in the good way.
Not in the good way at all. So let's just jump straight into it. Claude, Fable 5, and Mythos 5, Anthropic launches them on June 9th to massive fanfare. And 3 days later, the U.S. government orders them pulled completely for every user worldwide. Paul, what do you make of this whole thing?
Man. So I've got some conspiracy theories brewing, I'm not going to lie. But I should say up front, as someone who is not a vibe coder, Fable disappearing didn't really break anything for me. My workflow runs on Claude Code with Opus, and honestly, Opus 4.8 is still really solid. The gap between what Fable could do and what I actually need day to day, it's not that wide.
Yeah, same here. Zero practical impact on my workflow. But... politically, this thing is absolutely fascinating. So here's my theory, and I've been thinking about this all week. I think this is retaliation, pure and simple. Anthropic refused to let the Pentagon use Claude for autonomous weapons and mass domestic surveillance back in February. The DoD designated them a quote-unquote supply chain risk. A federal judge literally called it, and I'm quoting here, classic First Amendment retaliation. So now, 3 days after Fable launches, the same administration drops an export control directive based on an unwritten, verbally described jailbreak from a third party? Come on.
Yeah, that timeline is, it's hard to look at that and not see a connection. And what makes it worse, the third party that reported the jailbreak, it was Amazon. Who is, you know, Anthropic's biggest cloud partner, multi-billion dollar investor, and also a direct competitor building their own AI? And instead of doing coordinated disclosure, you know, telling Anthropic first like you normally would, they went straight to the Commerce Department. Andy Jassy himself reportedly raised it with officials.
Right. And here's the thing, the jailbreak itself, it's asking Fable 5 to read a code base and identify software vulnerabilities. That's it. That's the entire demonstration. Anthropic's response is, GPT 5.5 can do the same thing. Every frontier model can do this. Security engineers use this capability every day to find and patch vulnerabilities before attackers do. So if the standard is a narrow jailbreak exists, then every deployed model should be pulled. But only Fable got pulled.
Yeah, the double standard is what makes it smell funny. And the timing... Anthropic is literally in active litigation against the government over the supply chain blacklisting, like right now. And then Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth tweets, let me get this right, 3 months ago the Department of War kicked Anthropic out of our building forever. Every passing day proves why that was the right move. That's not the language of an administration that's just concerned about a jailbreak.
Exactly. And that's before we even get to the Reddit theories. So I went down the rabbit hole on r/ClaudeAI and r/artificial this week. Paul, you would not believe some of these.
Oh, I've been in those threads. What's your favorite?
Okay, so the retaliation theory is by far the most upvoted one, and we've covered that. But there's this wild sub-theory that Anthropic wanted this to happen. Like, they needed a reason to pull Mythos off the market, so they manufactured or at least welcomed the government intervention. I don't buy it, but it's out there.
I saw that one. I think that's giving everyone way too much credit for coordination. But the one that actually holds water for me is the transparency trap theory. Anthropic published this incredibly detailed system card. Honestly, the most transparent safety documentation any lab has ever put out. They admitted upfront that perfect jailbreak resistance is impossible, and that honesty, it gave the government the ammunition. You can't say our model might be jailbroken and then be surprised when someone uses that as the justification to pull it.
That's the tragic irony of this whole thing. If Anthropic had been less transparent, if they'd done what every other lab does and just said, our model is safe, don't worry about it, there's no roadmap for the government to act on. The system card was the evidence. And then you add the Pliny the Liberator system prompt leak. Within 48 hours of launch, the pseudonymous researcher publishes Fable 5's entire 120,000 character system prompt on GitHub.
Pliny. Of course it was Pliny. That account is, I mean, they've made a whole brand out of liberating system prompts. But here's the thing that got me. There was also the secret sabotage controversy. Fable 5 was designed to silently limit its own capabilities when it detected a user was working on frontier AI development. No notification, no disclosure. It would just quietly get worse. And Anthropic walked that back within 24 hours after the community erupted.
Right. And that was the launch week they were having before the government stepped in. The secret sabotage story was already dominating AI Twitter. Dario Amodei had just published an essay on June 10th, literally one day after Fable launched, calling for the government to have legal authority to block unsafe AI deployments. He compared it to the FAA grounding unsafe aircraft. 2 days later, the government used exactly that power against him.
I mean, you can't write that. Dario literally asked for the power that got his own model pulled. And David Sachs, the former AI czar, he came out and said the administration asked Dario to fix the jailbreak or de-deploy the model, and Dario refused both. The administration's framing is, Anthropic spent years telling us Mythos is a cyber weapon. We found the guardrails don't work. Now they're saying it's not serious.
And that's the bind Anthropic is in. They marketed themselves as the safety company. They said Mythos was too dangerous to release. They built their whole brand on we are the responsible ones. And now when the government says, okay, prove it, fix the vulnerability, or pull the model, they're trapped. Fixing it means admitting there's something uniquely dangerous about Fable that doesn't exist in GPT 5.5 or Gemini. Refusing to fix it makes them look like they don't actually care about safety.
Yeah, and that's the part where, as a developer, I start getting actually worried about the precedent. Not because I need Fable specifically. I told you, Opus is fine for my workflow. But if the government can pull any frontier model based on a verbal jailbreak claim from a competitor, with no written technical justification, no public standard, no process, what stops them from doing it to the next model? or the one after that?
That's the real question. And Satya Nadella, Microsoft CEO, he published this essay on June 14th that didn't mention Fable by name, but everyone knew what he was talking about. His opening line was, "A frontier without an ecosystem is not stable." His argument was basically, if all of your AI capability lives in someone else's model, and that model can be turned off overnight by government action, you've outsourced your entire cognitive infrastructure to a single point of failure.
That's exactly it. And that's future you will thank present you territory. If your production pipeline is hard-coded to a single model ID with no fallback, you just learned why that's a bad idea. The companies that are fine right now are the ones whose AI capability lives in their own fine-tuned models, their own evaluation data sets, their own institutional knowledge. Not in their Anthropic API key.
And here's the thing I keep coming back to. Whether the jailbreak concern is genuine, pretextual, or some mix of both, the process was broken. There was no published standard, no transparent review, no technical board making findings in public. It was a verbal claim from a company that is simultaneously Anthropic's biggest investor and a direct competitor, delivered to an administration that was already in active legal conflict with Anthropic. That's not regulation. That's something else.
Yeah. And the worst part, the incentive structure this creates is exactly backwards. Anthropic was the most transparent lab about their safety limitations, and they got punished for it. The next lab that's deciding how much to disclose in their system card, they're going to look at this and think, maybe we keep that to ourselves. That's a disaster for AI safety.
That's the moral of the story, isn't it? If transparency about AI limitations invites regulatory action while opacity does not, the industry will respond accordingly. And the result will be less public information about what these models can actually do, which is the exact opposite of what every safety advocate has been pushing for. Here's looking at you, Anthropic. You tried to do the right thing and you got, well, you got this.
Yeah, the road to hell paved with good system cards. Sorry, I had to.
And speaking of costs, you know what this whole Fable situation really brought into focus for me? Token anxiety, like real visceral, watching the numbers tick up anxiety.
Oh man, I've been there. Every time I watch that little counter in Claude Code climb past what I would have spent on lunch, there's this part of my brain that just can't stop doing the math. Future you will definitely feel that one in the wallet.
Right. I've got the $200 a month plan, and it shows you here's what you would have spent on API calls. And I'm watching that number go past $500, $600, $700 in a week. And I start sweating. And the thing is, I know the economics don't make sense right now. Everyone knows. These companies are burning venture capital to subsidize every query. But the numbers they report, they're sort of imaginary.
That's the part people don't get. When Anthropic says Fable costs X dollars per million tokens, that's list price. That's not what it actually costs them to run the inference. The real unit economics are, they're opaque, let's put it that way. And I think that's what makes the anxiety worse. You can't plan around numbers you don't actually know.
Exactly. And here's what really keeps me up. The price of these frontier models keeps going up, not down. Fable is more expensive than Sonnet. Opus 4.5 was a step change in pricing from Opus 3. The models are getting better, but the cost curve is bending the wrong way. Meanwhile, Paul, you and I and every developer I talk to, we're all saying the same thing. The models we already have are good enough for most of what we do.
Yeah, that's exactly what I've been thinking. I was on a project last week, standard CRUD API, some middleware, error handling boilerplate, and Claude Code with Sonnet handled it in like 3 prompts. I didn't need Fable. I didn't need Opus. I barely needed Sonnet. And I think there's this disconnect between what the labs think we need and what we actually need. They're racing to build models that can do PhD level research, and I'm over here just trying to get my TypeScript types to stop yelling at me.
Right. And that tension, that's what makes the future feel so uncertain. Because if the labs keep pushing toward more expensive models and the venture capital eventually runs out, what happens? Do the prices stay high and the services become luxury goods for enterprise? Or do they collapse and suddenly we can't access these models at all? And in that gap, that's where open source walks in. Have you been following what's happening with GLM 5.2 and DeepSeek V4 Pro?
Oh yeah, I've been watching that. GLM 5.2 from Zipu AI, open source beats GPT-5 and Claude Opus 4.5 on MMLU Pro matches on MF500, and it runs on consumer hardware. Like, you can run this thing locally. And DeepSeek V4 Pro, I saw the benchmarks drop last week. It's trading blows with Opus 4.5 on reasoning tasks. Open source is not just catching up anymore. It's pulling even.
That's what I'm saying. Opus 4.5 was supposed to be this step change, this game changer, and it was. The reasoning capabilities are genuinely impressive. But then GLM 5.2 drops like 3 weeks later and matches or beats it on half the benchmarks for free, running on your own machine. The moat that these frontier labs are trying to build, it's getting filled in faster than they can dig it. And that changes the economics of everything we just talked about.
Yeah. And I think for developers like us, that's actually the hopeful part of this whole anxiety conversation. The proprietary models might get more expensive. The government might pull them on a Tuesday afternoon. But the open source models, they keep getting better and cheaper, and nobody can take them away.
So here's the practical question that falls out of all this. If the frontier models are getting more expensive and the government can pull them on a Tuesday and open source is closing the gap, how are developers actually managing this right now? Like, what's the day-to-day strategy for staying productive without burning through your entire token budget by Wednesday?
Yeah. So I think the pattern that's emerging, and I've been deep into this, is what Anthropic themselves are shipping in Claude Code, the /model-opus-plan command. You type that at the start of a session, and from that point forward, Opus handles the thinking, planning, architecture, analyzing the code base, figuring out the approach. And then Sonnet does the doing. Writing the functions, applying the changes, running the commands. And here's the thing, the numbers actually back this up. A typical coding session, about 60% of the tokens are spent on execution tasks that Sonnet can handle just as well as Opus. Writing boilerplate, applying straightforward diffs, formatting output. You don't need a PhD level reasoning model for that. You just need it to not mess up the indentation.
Right. And what I find fascinating is this pattern didn't start with Claude Code. It's been bubbling up from the community for months. Developers on OpenRouter, on OpenCode CLI, they're building these multi-model pipelines by hand. Plan with Opus or GPT 5.5, implement with a cheaper model, sometimes Sonnet, sometimes an open source model, through an API, review and critique with something else entirely, Kimi, or a different model that catches things the implementer missed. It's like you wouldn't use a Formula One car to go to the grocery store. You could, it would work. But it's a spectacular waste of money. And we're finally seeing the tooling catch up to make that distinction practical.
Totally. And this is where the open source models we were just talking about, they shine. I was reading through the Our Local Llama threads, and there's this really consistent pattern now. Developers are using Opus or GPT for the planning phase, the architecture, the design decisions. Then they hand the plan to GLM 4.7 or DeepSeek V4 for the actual implementation. And one comment that stuck with me. Someone said GLM 4.7, quote, give it a detailed plan and it follows it carefully and relentlessly. That's exactly what you want from an implementation model. And then here's the clever part. Some developers add a third model for review. Kimi K2 thinking, for example. It reads through the implementation, critiques the approach, catches edge cases the implementer missed. You've got this three-stage pipeline, plan, build, review, and each stage uses the model that's best at that specific thing, not just the one model for everything.
That's the convergence, that three-stage pipeline. And look at the economics of it. A typical complex build, maybe 4 million tokens spent on planning using Opus or GPT, 10 million tokens on execution. If you run those 10 million execution tokens through Haiku instead of Opus, you save 57% right there. If you run them through an open source model running locally, you save nearly everything on execution. You're just paying for the planning phase. And that changes the entire calculus of, is it even worth paying for these services? If you're only using the expensive model for 10 or 20% of your tokens, suddenly that $200 monthly plan stretches much further. The anxiety doesn't go away, but it becomes manageable.
Yeah, and I think this is where the token anxiety we were talking about earlier, it's actually fueling something useful. Developers are scared of the bill. They're watching that counter tick up, and that fear is driving them to build smarter workflows. The plan with the smart model, build with the cheap model pattern, that's a direct response to watching your token budget evaporate before lunch. But, and there's always a but, this isn't solved yet. The tooling is still really immature. Switching models mid-session, managing multiple contexts, keeping the plan consistent across different models, it's clunky. We're in the it works in my terminal phase of this, not the it just works phase.
Exactly. And that's the honest state of this. The convergence pattern is real. Plan with Frontier, implement with open source or cheap. Review with something different. You can see it emerging across hundreds of developers, across tools, across models. But the experience is still, it's still duct tape and bash scripts for a lot of people. The platforms that make this seamless, they're coming, but they're not here yet. And I think that brings us back to where this whole conversation started. The Fable poll. The token anxiety, the open source catching up. All of these threads are pushing toward the same conclusion. The future of AI-assisted development is not going to be one model to rule them all. It's going to be the right model for the right job at the right price. And the developers who figure out that pipeline first, they're the ones who are going to be terrifyingly productive while everyone else is still burning Opus tokens on boilerplate.
That's honestly the moral of this whole episode. The Fable situation showed us the proprietary stack is fragile. The token anxiety showed us the economics don't work at scale. But the convergence, plan smart, build cheap, review different, that's the pattern that's going to carry us through. And it's not fully baked yet, but you can see the shape of it.
That's the episode. Fable gets pulled, tokens get expensive, open source closes the gap, and the developers who survive are the ones who learn to put the Formula One car in the garage and take the reliable sedan to the grocery store. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back in next week. Here's Looking at You.